Now, we have a story today in the book of Nehemiah, and it's a story about rebuilding, not only rebuilding lives, but rebuilding a great wall, a wall of protection that was established around Jerusalem, and during its history, it provided the people that lived in that city protection. And Nehemiah was a man that had a burden on his heart. He had a burden, and the Lord gave him that burden because the Lord had a work for him to do. So if you ever get a burden on your heart, just beware. Maybe the Lord's trying to get you to do some work for him. Because that's how many of the ministries start in life. You know, you have all kinds of ministries out there. You have, you know, ministries for the unborn. You have ministries for the homeless. You have all kinds of ministries. And it's up to us, the people, to respond to the promptings of God in our heart. And when we get that passion and burning desire, you can be sure that God is trying to tell you something in your life. But Nehemiah was a praying man, as Pastor Richard mentioned last week. And he was the king's cupbearer. So he was the one that would provide the wine for the king and probably, you know, would taste it, make sure it wasn't poisoned before the king drank it. But he was not only there to protect the king in that way, he was there and many times to maybe offer advice to the king. The king gave him that position, and it was a highly regarded position in those times. And Nehemiah had this burden on his heart. You know, God was putting something on his heart that was so strong that he had to present this to the king. And the king's name is, I'm going to say Xerxes. Let's say it's Xerxes for short because it's a little hard to pronounce sometimes. But King Xerxes, he was the son of King Cyrus. And his stepmother, it is said, was Esther, Queen Esther. So it wasn't her child by King Cyrus, but it was the child from his other wife. And this burden on his heart was compelling him to go to the king and let the king know that he needed to go back to Jerusalem. You know, about 140 years prior was when the first wave of the Babylonian exiles went to Israel to help rebuild the city. And there were about three waves of exiles that went back there, and this is about the third wave of exiles. So he approaches the king, and he tells the king, you know, I have this burden. You know, my ancestors that are buried in the city of Jerusalem, you know, I hear all these horrible things going on there. My people there are suffering, and they're being attacked by enemies. Please, let me go back and build the wall of Jerusalem. Build that protection for my people. And naturally, the king, who may have known Esther very well, granted him favor, just like King Cyrus granted the exile's favor to go back, his father. Well, I do think, and it's not proven, but I do think Esther may have had a big part to play in these kings' lives and how they were favorable to the Israelites to go back home and rebuild their city and to take care of their people. And there's a lot of lessons here for us as spiritual Israel, as we'll see as we go along in the story. But, you know, Nehemiah, you know, this burden compelled him. So the king grants him favor and lets him know, okay, I'll send you back. How long will you be? And he tells the king he'll be there several years. And he asks the king for letters to take with him so that he can have safe travel through the provinces on his way there. And he's also given lumber from the king's forest to help rebuild the gates of the wall and certain parts of the wall. So he's got favor from the king, just like the previous exiles had favor from the kings before him. So he goes back, and he sees the desperate plight of Jerusalem. And, you know, he's fasting and he's praying about this. And he gets up in the middle of the night, and there's a famous part of the scripture where he goes and surveys the city, and he surveys the wall of the city. And he's getting all these bad reports from inside the city and outside the city. I mean, there are enemies all over. And that's what Pastor Dave was talking about, you know. We have to be careful. There's an enemy out there. There is an enemy. And sometimes he's right in here with us. He's right here with us sometimes. And sometimes we're all susceptible to his devices in our life. All of us. You know, none of us is immune to what's going on in this evil world. And it has an effect on us sometimes. So he was getting all kinds of reports from his people how the enemies of Israel were attacking them. You know, they're trying to build the city up, and they're getting attacked from every location. You know, it's sneak attacks. They don't know when it's going to happen, but it's happening over and over and over again, and it's getting them very discouraged. So Nehemiah, he takes some action. He prayed, he fasted, and he's going to take some action about this now. And, you know, when you think about what he does, it will teach us some lessons as to what we need to do when we have attacks in our life, and how we need to go to God in prayer. Pastor Richard was talking about prayer last week and how important that is in our lives. So let's start out here in Nehemiah chapter 4. This is after he was given the okay to return back to Jerusalem to rebuild a wall. Starting in verse 7, here are the enemies that are coming up on the scene now. Here are those from the outside that are looking to attack and destroy the Israelites and kill them. It says, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. Very angry. Why? Why were they so angry? You know, what did the Jews really do to them? Maybe they just had some bad blood there from some battles they had. You know, maybe their ancestors or family members had been involved in some battles with the Israelites in the past. You know, we have seen in stories in Scripture where, you know, some, you know, relative way back hundreds of years now comes with, you know, someone in the present time of Israel, and they're there to take revenge on Israel for what happened maybe hundreds of years past. Well, this could be happening here because you have all kinds of different peoples from the area that are coming against Israel now. And they're angry that the Israelites have this plan to rebuild the wall. Maybe they were suspicious, like, why are they building this wall back, you know? But it says when they heard it, they were very angry, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and cause confusion in it. Cause confusion in it. That's something we really need to be careful about, confusion. You know, because when we get confused, you know, we can get depressed. We can get anxious. Oh, what's going to happen? You know, what do we do? Things like that. And God's way is the way of unity and love and working together and understanding. And it's something we all need to learn, because I think all of us, you know, we all have that tendency to want to do things our way or the highway, right? I know I do. I don't think you're any different than me. I mean, sometimes I get angry when things aren't done my way. I don't know why. I'm just, some people might have a name for me, but I've been called a few in my life. So it says, so what did Nehemiah do when he saw this attacking by these individuals and different tribes, some of the Arabs and other tribes that were out there? He said, so we prayed to our God. That was the very first thing that they did. They prayed to their God, the one and only true God, the one that created heaven and earth and all things. Right? If people ask me, you know, oh, well, what makes your God different than all the other gods? Well, I believe in the one that created everything we see and everyone we know. That's the God I worship. That's the God I believe in. The God who put me here on this earth and put you here. That's the one I'm talking about. I don't know what God you're talking about. You know, this imaginary unicorn thing that I get hit with all the time, that's not the God. I mean, this God I believe in, he's revealed. He reveals himself in the pages of Scripture. He shows himself to me. You know, I had this one guy, I mean, Dave was talking about me and the atheist. I had one guy just a couple of nights ago mentioned to me, like, sure, your God talks to you, doesn't he? I said, yes, he does. So all I got to do is open this book, and he's talking to me loud and clear. And I didn't get any feedback from that, but, you know, I think he was thinking more audibly, like I hear his voice. Well, I won't say I heard his voice. I won't tell you that. He took me on that mountain, and I'm just kidding. No, but he talks loudly to us. I mean, Jesus' words are there in red, right in your Bible, right? And there are times I do believe we hear his voice in our hearts. We do. And we could say we know what we know because the Lord put that in my heart to know it. That's what faith is, right? Faith is knowing even when you don't see it. You know, and this person told me, you know, I believe what I see with my eyes. I said, well, you know, a magician can trick you. I said, that's easy. You're going to go by what you see. That's real easy. He says, I don't believe in faith. I says, well, do you believe you're going to wake up tomorrow? And he says, yes. I said, well, that's faith. So you do have faith. Do you believe your heart's going to keep beating? Yeah, that's faith. Right? You take that for granted, don't you? But these are the things and the questions and the people that I come across in life. And I'm just like, you know, I don't know how you can't believe in a God when you see all that's around you and the wonders of life. can you really just think that all happened by itself? And yet, all these scientists think that's the truth. These are supposed to be learned people, right? Yeah, we're supposed to be the dummies because we believe in a God. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard. It's hard not to feel like, sometimes, but, you know, I understand. I understand that there is an awakening, I think, that needs to take place in people's lives. You know, faith is not an easy thing that we can just accept things because we're told to. Now, faith is mixed with something in our hearts. We don't just believe it because somebody tells us something. That's not good. You know, I remember Peter Whitting used to say that. Don't leave your brain outside the door. You know, it's true. You don't want to blindly accept things because somebody says it. It says test the spirits. So that's what testing the spirits sometimes means. You have to do a little soul searching and get into the scriptures and really look at things because there's a lot there that sometimes we don't see. When I do a Bible study, I'm amazed. I mean, you can go off on tangents in so many different ways, but you learn so much when you do. I'm realizing that. I mean, there's so many things from these stories I'm learning because I'm just saying, well, who's that person, and how do they play a role in this? I didn't know Esther might have been, you know, the stepmother of this king, Xerxes. I didn't know that until I did a little research in it. And it makes sense, and it makes sense why they had so much favor that they gave these people to do the work because they trusted them. Nehemiah was trusted. He was a Jew, but he was trusted. You know, and they had a whole bunch of captives from Jerusalem during the captivity when Babylon originally invaded them. They had a lot of these captives, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I mean, you know, these were respected individuals, trustworthy, and these kings knew that. And it was just passed down the line. But you always had the enemies there looking to snatch them away and the work that God had them to do. So, getting back to the story, Nehemiah, it says, we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. Have you ever had times in your life where you had to set a guard on your heart day and night? Because of the attacks you were going through. You know, it says Daniel prayed 3 times a day. That was like his breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He made God first because that was his nourishment. His spiritual life took precedent in his life. Prayed 3 times a day. And look what happened to Daniel. They threw him in the lion's den because, you know, they tricked the king into making this edict that, you know, if somebody doesn't bow down and worship you, they should be thrown to the lions. But God was with him, right? You know, he had to go through that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to go through the fiery trial. But they trusted in God, as Dave was saying. They trusted in him with all their heart. Do we do that when we're in these severe trials in our life? Do we really know that these trials are meant to strengthen our faith and to draw us closer to God? They're not meant to tear us down, but we can let them. We can let them. If we're not together, you know, you can't be a lone Christian. You can't do that. Not going to work, and you have to love your brother and your sister. You have to love them no matter what, you know, because as the scripture says, that you want to be forgiven, just forgive others. You know, it's that simple. You know, that's a a wonderful scripture that I'll always think of, you know, how God commands us to love one another and forgive one another, and I will forgive you. It's right in there in the Lord's Prayer at the end. So we don't forget it, right? If we get that far in the Lord's Prayer. So pray. Pray is the first thing we should do. And then set a guard day and night. Don't just pray and forget it. Keep praying about it, whatever it is. And it may take years for you to find relief from whatever problem you're going through. You may not even find relief in this life from whatever problem you're going through. But where's your faith? What happens if you lose it? Where are you then when you give up on God? Because the day is coming, right? So even if he didn't deliver you from that, there's a final deliverance from sin and death. It's called a resurrection. It's called a resurrection. And we're going to be amazed to what that resurrection will do to us. I mean, I can't describe it. You know, it says somehow we're going to be like Jesus. You know, we're going to see him as he is and be like him in a way that is going to, I think, just really, I don't know. I can't describe any of it. I don't think anybody can. But it's wonderful, right? We have words maybe that can partially describe it. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, we're going to be filled with wonder. Full of it. That's going to be an amazing time.